Everybody, this is Pastor Brian Ross
from Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We want to welcome you to this midweek video. We appreciate you tuning in as always. If you haven't already done so, if you would consider subscribing and ringing the alarm bell as a way of staying current with the ministry, when we go live from our assembly building on Sunday morning, as well as when we create content for you here midweek, we'd certainly appreciate that. So what I want to do in this video is I want to follow up on a topic that came up last month in December of 2024 while I was teaching the From This Generation Forever class, particularly lessons 249 and 250, where we were going through Gordon Campbell's book, Bible, The Story of the King James Version, 1611 to 2011, and we were looking at what Campbell was saying regarding the editorial work of F.S. Paris. F.S. Paris edited the text for Cambridge University in 1743 in a small duodecimo edition, and then again in 1762 in a large folio edition, as well as an octavo edition. And so we were looking at sort of some of the examples that Campbell is giving regarding the editorial work of F.S. Paris. And so we covered that in lesson 249 and 250. And while we were doing that, something interesting came up as we were going through that information about the topic of changes, edits, and some of the stuff that is commonly said by King James advocates about this topic that I wanted to kind of zero in as a case study, all right? So what we want to talk about is our hands and hand, verbally equivalent in Acts 7:35, okay? Now, when you get into conversations about the printed history of the text amongst King James advocates, David F. Reagan's piece, The King James Version, 1611, The Myth of Early Revision, is frequently used by King James defenders and cited to frame a discussion regarding the printed history of the text. Okay, now, that is this piece right here, The King James Version of 1611, The Myth of Early Revision. And this was done by Dr. David Reagan, a now deceased pastor out of Tennessee. I believe this was done, I can't find this exact date, but I believe this was done probably in the late 80s, early 90s, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, this piece by Reagan is used frequently and comes up a lot in conversations by King James defenders and advocates. Okay. Now, Reagan's piece is divided into three subsections. He talks about printing changes, spelling changes, and textual changes. Now, we talk at length about Reagan's piece and some of the other From This Generation Forever lessons. Here, we're just mentioning it briefly to kind of frame a conversation about Acts 7:35. Okay. Now, under the category of printing changes, Reagan addressed changes in face type and letters. So that would be a change from the Gothic font to the Roman font, and then the way that certain letters were shaped, like a V originally being a U, an S originally being shaped as an F, etc. Those of you that have ever looked at a 1611 or are familiar with this, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about there, okay? In his second category, Reagan dealt with spelling changes that occurred between 1611 and 1769. Regarding Reagan's first two categories, we agree with the author that the changes in font, letters, and spelling are not even in the same league as the textual changes exhibited by the modern critical text and modern versions. So to change the font, to change the spelling, to change a letter is not even remotely the same thing as you're going to leave out entire verses, you're going to excise the long ending of Mark 16, 9 through 11, or 9 through 21. So those aren't even the same kinds of things. Okay, so I agree with Dr. Reagan about that. Okay. Reagan's comments on textual changes comprise the longest section of his booklet. Reagan maintains that textual differences between 1611 and 1769 are essentially the correction of early printer errors. So if you read Reagan's piece carefully, you'll see that basically anything different in text, he throws all of that into the category of printer errors. All right, and we've made other videos in the series relating to our book, The Myth of Verbatim Identicality, How God Actually Preserved His Word, where we've looked at other examples of words and are they verbally equivalent and so on. And this is sort of just another case study example. So according to Reagan, there are only three types of changes that have been made to the text of the AV between 1611 and 1769, and these would be what he calls printing changes, i.e. font letters, spelling changes, and textual changes, i.e. the correction of printer errors. This is essentially what Reagan argues, and then many follow Reagan in adopting his argumentation. Okay, so note that Reagan is counting any textual change as the correction of a printer error. Okay, my contention is that this is just simply not a factually accurate conclusion. All right. So let's look at the text of Acts 7:35 as a case study. All right. Now, rule number one given to the King James translators was that they were to follow the bishop's Bible unless the truth of the original said otherwise. Okay. Now, I'm paraphrasing that, but that's essentially what it said. And so to help follow that rule, Robert Barker, the King's printer, printed 40 unbound copies of a 1602 bishop's Bible in folio size and passed them out, distributed to the various translation companies. Okay, now here is the bishop's Bible. So this is the base text for the King James Bible in Acts 7:35, and we want to look at this part of the verse right here. Okay, so Stephen is talking in this passage. He's rehearsing Israel's history before the Sanhedrin. Very important passage dispensationally, but that's not our main focus here in this video. Notice this phrase: by the hands of the angel which appeared to him. Notice hands, H-A-N-D-E-S. Hands. So the bishop's base text had the word, the phrase hands of an angel, and this is how it was spelling hands. Okay. Now we can track changes throughout history. If we go now to a 1611, notice the 1611 reading, by the hands of the angel. Again, spelled the same way as the 1602 Bishop's Bible, H-A-N-D-E-S, hands. All right. Well, in 1629, Cambridge edited the text, and notice something interesting here, okay? Notice that they update the spelling of hands. They now spell it H-A-N-D-E-S, but they retain the S at the end, okay? So hands is spelled here in 1629 by the Cambridge editors the way that we would identify hands, and it's an update from the way hands was spelled in 1611, and the way that hands was spelled in 1602. So this is clearly an update in spelling that has taken place here, okay? But I want you to notice that the S at the end of hands has been retained by the 1629 Cambridge editors, okay? Let's look at 1638 Cambridge, same thing, okay? By the hands of the angel. So the other thing that's commonly said in these conversations is that the 1629 Cambridge and the 1638 Cambridge, these are both folio editions, that King James translators sat in on these revisions, these edits that Cambridge University is making, okay? Now, again, you can notice very clearly that Cambridge updates the spelling here, but they retain the S at the end of hands, okay? So if one was going to make an argument, well, that these are sanctioned revisions by the King James translators, then the King James translators approve of the S being at the end of hands if you're going to adopt that line of argumentation. Now, just to be clear, I've said it in other videos, I'll say it again here. We don't have any extant evidence of translators being involved in 1629. If there's evidence, I'd love to see it, but as of right now, we just don't have that. We do have evidence from William Kilburn's piece, Dangerous Errors, that Samuel Ward and John Boyce were a part of the 1638 Cambridge, okay? So if you adopt sort of what is the standard argumentation by people who talk about these things within the pro-King James space, this would be a sanctioned update in the spelling, okay? Now, the problem with that is as you move forward in time from 1638, more changes are being made to this verse, specifically to this word, okay? Now, one of the interesting things regarding lessons 249 and 250 were that we realized that through Christopher Yetzer helping me and us working together, we realized that a lot of the changes that are ascribed to the work of F.S. Paris in 1743 and 1762 were actually made before that, okay? So this is another example of how the text is being published uneven. And so the idea that there are these four monolithic revisions and that all the changes that are made during these four periods of revision in 1629, 1638, 1762, and 1769 is just, I'm sorry to say, it's just flat out not true. It's just not the way things happened or the way things went down, okay? So the first occurrence that we can find at this time of a change being made to this verse after 1638 is in a 1616 London duodecimo edition, H678 in Herbert's catalog of printed Bibles, okay? Now notice what's going on here. Delivered by the hand, singular, of the angel. So the S is removed, okay? So we go from hands being updated in spelling to the S being removed. So, and as we go forward in time, we see here's a 1638 Cambridge Quarto edition with the S being removed. And here's 1743 Paris Duodecimo edition, H1063, and again, the S is removed. So, is this a spelling change? Is this what's going on here? Okay, this the change in spelling from the old spelling, like we see up here, from H-A-N-D-E-S to H-A-N-D-S, is an updating in spelling. But then we have an editorial change that's made later on where we drop the S. And by the way, the King James translators, when they helped on this, as they assisted on the 1638, they didn't elect to change hands to hand. They kept it the way that it was in the 1602 bishops and the way that it was in the 1611 with the S at the end. And then later editors dropped the S as they make their way through the text as we work our way through history. And I have in front of me my Bible in Acts 7:35, and again, it has by the hand singular of the angel. So this is a non-substantive change. These verses still have verbal equivalence, even though there's no S at the end of hands in the current text, okay? And I'm using this as an example and a case study to show how these things are happening as we move our way through time, all right? Now, back to Reagan for a minute as we finish this video. So let me just make sure I'm very clear here. The dropping of the S is a non-substantive change, but there's not verbatim identicality of wording across all of the editions of the King James Bible. And there's a ton of changes that are being made at times that aren't supposed to be being made according to the standard rhetoric and argumentation of the King James, pro-King James movement, okay? In other words, stuff is being said that's just not true. Whether you have hands or hand, the substantive doctrinal content of the verse is the same. There's verbal equivalence. There's not a problem where now one is saying one thing and the other is saying something different. Okay, the angel is it's dealing with the deliverance activity of the angel. All right, but to say hand, editors rendered as more accurate than to say hands with the S. So that's what's going on here, and that is the way the reading stands in the standard 1769 text that anybody with a King James Bible today, unless they're reading one of these older ones, has in front of them, like I do right here in my Oxford Schofield Bible, all right? So what's going on here? Why is this stuff being missed? And we need to kind of think through that just a little bit. David Reagan relied on the work of F.H.A. Scribner from the 1880s to advance his position. So Reagan is relying on Scribner. Reagan is not going out and collating and looking at different printings to arrive at his conclusions. He's just relying on what Scribner said. Okay. So put another way, Reagan did not collate different printings/editions of the King James to arrive at his conclusions. More recent scholarly work on the topic has been conducted by Professor David Norton in A Textual History of the King James Bible, and Dr. Lawrence Vance's still unfinished project, The Text of the King James Bible. A consideration of these sources is required to judge the veracity of Reagan's response to the which KJV question. The problem is that Reagan is relying on dated information. Its information is just simply not accurate. It does not take into account enough information. And what we are really learning in real time now through the teaching of the From This Generation Forever class, is that Norton's work Campbell's work, and now I'm realizing some of Vance's work, only it is also not a complete tale of the history of the text, because those works only looked at the large flagship folio editions of 1629, 1638, 1762, and 1769. They did not look at what I am calling the lesser editions, and by lesser, again, I mean the smaller size editions. If you include the smaller size editions, you realize that there are far more changes being made than people realize outside of the four time windows of 1629, 1638, 1762, and 1769. So, put another way, the story is much more interesting and much more complicated than what people have heretofore thought. Okay? So the printed history of the King James text is not as neat and tidy as many would like it to be. The text was never printed with uniformity between 1611 and 1769. Editorial changes were made to the text despite claims of some to the contrary. This is why demanding verbatim identicality of wording as the standard for preservation is an unhelpful standard and logically leads to one having to declare which edition printed everything perfectly to the exclusion of all others. If that's the road, then you're going to have to say, well, this is the exact right one. Our position, articulated in the myth of verbatim identicality, is that all the editions of the King James Bible have verbal equivalents. All of them are the Word of God for English-speaking people. And so you can just rest and trust and rely on that, that no matter whichever one you have God's Word in English-speaking people, provided it is a King James Bible and not a New King James Bible, which my co-author and I, David Reed, do find problems with the New King James Bible and what in some of the choices that it has made in certain spots. So that's a topic for another video, though, but there you have my thinking there. So it is not correct to think of the history of the text in terms of four monolithic revisions occurring in 1629, 1638, 1762, and 1769. The real story unfolds year by year and printing by printing. And so this video was designed to highlight and accent a particular thing that is said in the argumentation and demonstrate what is happening from actual screenshots from actual printed editions of the text. Hands, H-A-N-D-E-S, hands, H-A-N-D-S, and hand are verbal equivalent. There is no effect to the substantive doctrinal teaching of the passage, whether it is hands or hand. So I hope you find this video helpful and useful to you as you think through these issues. And as always, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ for your eternal salvation, you need to realize and understand that God loves you and that Christ died for your sin, that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world to save sinners, and that he went to the cross, he shed his blood, he satisfied the offended justice of God against sin, he rose from the dead, and now he wants to give you eternal life as a free gift. If you stop relying in your work, your performance, your church going, whatever you think is making you righteous and just before Almighty God, and just trust and rely exclusively on what he did for you through his cross work and resurrection, his death, his burial, his resurrection, trust that today and that alone for your eternal salvation before it's everlasting too late. Thanks for your attention, and we'll see you next time.